Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. If you can, physically, would you stand with me out of respect to God's word as we read Galatians chapter 5? And I believe a passage that can change our lives. Galatians chapter 5. Look, if you would, at verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Walking in victory, walking in the right path. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I ask that you would work in the message tonight. Fill me with your Spirit. Help us in our attention to your word to take exactly what we need for life and for victory that we need to apply in this very moment. And Lord, I pray that you'd grab our attention. And Lord, I pray that you'd keep it right on your word. Touch hearts and do what only you can. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Just a number of weeks ago, myself and my three boys went out to Arizona, and we got to hike part of the Grand Canyon where it's called the Supai Village. It's where an Indian village is, about 400 or so live down there, and the only way to get down is to hike, or if you pay, you can ride a horse. There is a helicopter ride occasionally that you could really pay and get in, but there's no motorized vehicles down there. They walk to school. They're right there in just a little bitty village, and it's something. If you've ever seen waterfalls, and they've said they've been part of a canyon or the Grand Canyon system, it's a blue-green waterfall. It's that area. Absolutely breathtaking. I took a picture with my iPhone three years ago, and just from my picture, not doing any photo editing, not being a photographer, I framed it. It's like 20 by 24. It's just absolutely gorgeous. It's in my office in Tennessee. It's just a beautiful place to be. But it is an intense hike. It's 10 miles down to the campground where we stay, and we don't do the wimpy thing of staying in the lodge. No, my boys, they want to carry their tent and their backpacks and the sleeping bags and all the food supply. You know, we're staying at the campground, you know, real men. Yeah. And we only eat at the restaurant once. Real men eat at the restaurant once. But the rest of the time, you know, we're at the campground, survival. And so we're just looking at these beautiful falls. It's just great. And coming up is pretty intense, isn't it, Jonathan? It's very intense. And you're climbing upwards. And the last part, you go through these switchbacks. And it really is a long hike. So with about 40 pounds or so on my back and 45 on one of my sons and several pounds on others. And it just really makes it a very, very intense endurance type of a hike. But it's very important what you take and the path that you take as well. You pay attention to the signs. Just this summer, there were two people on that very trail and hike died because of either not having the right water or getting on the wrong path and not having enough supplies and water supplies to be able to survive. They really thought it was no big deal where they would go or carelessly or casually be able to go. We were coming out we left the campground at 6:15 in the morning. Well, it was still dark and just barely getting light. And we got up at 11:55, just at almost noon. And it was about 12-something, 1 o'clock, and we're getting things all wrapped up and getting our vehicle, and people are just starting to go down. I said, this is absolutely dangerous. They don't know what they're doing starting that late in this hike. It's incredible how careless we can be with this. The path can lead a matter of life or can lead to a matter of death. There's a path that leads to revival, and there's a path that leads to the flesh and defeat in the Christian life as well. We must walk in the Spirit in order to have the victory that God has for us and to stay on the right path. Will you tonight allow God to help you identify which path you're on right this very moment. As we understand the ministry, then working in the Holy Spirit and being on the right path of walking in the Spirit, He's going to give us three results. And let's look at these three results from the passage. First of all, the Holy Spirit gives liberty. The Holy Spirit gives liberty. Look at verse 1. It talks about this liberty. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, in context, it's talking about with the Galatians. They were confused about being justified by the works of the law. And he's even previous chapters, "Are you so foolish? You begun by the Spirit, and you're saved by the Holy Spirit, and Him coming to live inside of you and dwell in you by faith in Jesus Christ. Do you now continue by the flesh and fulfilling the works of the law?" No. And he goes through an illustration of the bondwoman, then the free woman in chapter 4. Now he talks about liberty. Liberty from this law and liberty from the flesh. And look, if you would, at verse 13, it says this, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Number one, the Holy Spirit gives us liberty. Well, what is this liberty all about? Notice, liberty is not an occasion to the flesh or for self. It says, "For brethren," verse 13, "ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." If someone starts to say, "I am under grace, I have liberty, and so I can do this, I can get away with this, I can live this way," and so we throw off rules, we throw off standards of holiness or standards of separation and the guise of liberty, or perhaps a deception of what grace really is. Let me help us understand. We need certain guidelines and separation and rules for our own benefit. For instance, a tree is bound to the ground. You say, "Oh, that poor tree. If it wasn't bound to the ground, if it's uprooted, it would be free." What happens to the tree when you uproot it? It dies. How about a train? A train is bound to the tracks that it's functioning on. So that poor train is just bound to those tracks. It has to go where those tracks are leading. If it just had the freedom to go through this field, oh, it would be so wonderful. It would be liberated from those tracks. What happens with the train if it gets off the tracks? You have a train wreck. How about a kite? You have a kite and you let out the string and you get it actually up in the air and you get it flying really high and 75 feet, maybe even 100 feet way up there, and you have all the string let out. You say, "That poor kite, it could soar so much higher if you just cut that string." So you cut the string and what happens? It falls to the ground. Each of them needed a certain limitation or a standard or a guideline on which to function. We need biblical standards and separation to be able to help us and to understand this liberty isn't for you and your flesh. There's a wrong thinking out there saying, "Well, it's okay, I'm under liberty now, so social drinking is fine." God has never changed His mind about alcohol or strong drink. And if we're deceived thereby, the Bible says in Proverbs, we're not wise. Don't be deceived in today's time thinking social drinking's okay. How about this? Now, I can watch whatever I want on my entertainment or my media. It's okay. No matter what the rating is, I'm under liberty. I'm under grace. You see, if there is an idea of, "I'm going to do this, what can I get away with?" There's a focus on self and the flesh. That's a real big red flag that you're using this liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Where should your focus be? On others. It says it right there. "But by love, serve one another. All the laws fulfilled in this, love thy neighbor." Stop focusing on yourself. We have a lot less problems, but there's biting, there's devouring. Why? There's disunity, there's just little rumblings, there's complaining, there's backbiting, there's just little arguments. What happened? Why is that? Because there's an occasion to the flesh. There's a focus on self and a flesh. This liberty gives us a liberty from the law and the flesh indeed. If we're walking in this pathway of the Spirit, He gives liberty. Secondly, the Holy Spirit gives leading. Number two, the Holy Spirit gives leading. We'll see this in verses 16 through 21. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you just let that small verse sink in, it would radically change our Christian walk and our life. Do you recognize what it says? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is this walking? This is the leading from the Holy Spirit. Walking is a series of steps. I take a step, and I continue to take a step. As I continue to take steps, there I'm walking now down a pathway. Every one of us are taking steps in our Christian walk, either on the right path or the wrong path at this very moment. Each step is a step of faith. This faith is dependent upon God and His grace. What we need to do is be yielded and surrendered to the leading of the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. As we're walking in the Spirit, we can see then that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a great victory there. For instance, how about Southport Road? It's Southport, right? Is that correct? You got Southport Road, and now there's not much of a sidewalk or anything, right? I would not recommend walking on Southport Road, okay? And so you got Southport. If you're walking in the road, are you in the ditch? Yes or no? You say no. If you're walking in the ditch, are you on the road? You say no. Here's a simple illustration. It says this, is if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You're not falling down into the ditch. You can have great victory. Well, how do we do this? Well, let me get my three guys to help me out. Can you come back up? Body, soul, and spirit. They have been practicing all day. Actually, we didn't get to practice. Now two of them kept their ties. One of them lost it. It's our human spirit lost it. coming up, guys. Perfect. All right. How about body, soul, and spirit right there? Okay, so body, soul, and spirit. All right, but spread out just a little bit. You're scaring me. Okay, that way. There we go. All right, so body, soul, and spirit. Okay, remember? Okay, we got our body. Relates to the physical world. Our soul, a real you. Our mind, our will, and emotion relates to other people. And our spirit, this is how we relate to God. And the human spirit, which obviously has issues. Do I know it when I see it or what? All right. He's unsaved, and when he trusts Christ as Savior, then the Holy Spirit comes in and helps this guy out. Okay. All right. So now the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells, we believe, it would be the human spirit of man. Because the Holy Spirit has to dwell and has to live in a clean place. And so it's that new spirit that's been made clean. And then he says, I will put my spirit within you. So we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit now in our human spirit, and then we have our soul and we have our body. Now, what is this walking in the Spirit? Well, it's decisions to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But what happens oftentimes is we yield to the lusts and the cravings of the flesh. This guy right here. The body has appetites, right? Yep. Yeah. I want to eat, you know. And by the way, I ate today with the young people, and I survived. And I heard some of them helped with the prep, the food prep, and so I survived. But it was great. It was a really good time. And so we have, our bodies have appetites, sleeping, eating, others as well. And so here are these cravings. Lust is a strong desire, a craving for something. Typically, it's in a negative connotation for something that we should not have, or in that timing, or the boundaries are just simply disregarded. But the flesh says to the soul, hey, follow me. Listen to me. Well, I want to go this way. And so as a Christian, we have the potential to have the works of the flesh being lived out in our life. And so the soul, remember, is where the mind, will, and emotions. That's where we can make the decision. Am I going to follow the Spirit or am I going to follow the flesh? And so the body taps him on the shoulder and says, hey, come on over this way. So why don't you pivot this way? You pivot. Yeah, just look that way. There you go. Body. Okay, hold on. And then you pivot and you follow him. And then you pivot right there and you follow them. Okay, now the flesh is in control. The cravings are all a part of the flesh. Just everybody just take one step. Taking one step. Okay, now what happened? What happened, by the way, to the Spirit? The Spirit never sins. There is no sin with the Holy Spirit. But the whole time, the power of the Holy Spirit is rendered ineffective in your life because you're following the flesh. Take another step. There's another step. The flesh takes a step. The soul says, okay. And the Spirit just follows along. Now, right now, this is on the wrong pathway. It's the pathway of the flesh. What needs to take place? There needs to be a turning. There needs to be a reviving, a revival. So the Holy Spirit just taps on the soul. Tap on it. And he says, hey, you need to follow me. You need to listen. You need to listen to this direction here. Now, don't be too animated here. So he's getting him. What is that tapping? What is that? But he's going, hey, listen. Hey, come this way. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if this is wrong or not. Maybe this isn't quite right. And you're uneasy and you keep thinking about that. Well, God's going to convict you in your mind, your soul, of convincing you that this is wrong. You need to follow me. And when the soul says, you know what? That's right. I need to follow the Holy Spirit. So you pivot. And then the soul pivots. And what happens to the flesh? He says, okay, I got to go this way. Now you pivot. And now take a step this way. Now they're taking a step that way. And they have to follow the Holy Spirit. Take another step. The Spirit's leading. And now what happens? The soul just follows. This step, every step we take, now we're surrendering to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and we're trusting Him in order to obey in that area. By the way, just face the audience if you would pivot again. Here we have, we say, okay, you know what? Here's the flesh against the Spirit. These are contrary one to another. That means they're fighting. Sometimes the flesh seems kind of big, doesn't it? It's like, wow, I don't know if I could take that guy. Do you realize this, that there's no competition? Have you ever heard the old illustration, like the old Indian, you know, it says, within me, there are two dogs, a white dog and a black dog. Well, which one wins? And they're fighting. The one I feed or whatever. And so we have this idea, there's two even-sized dogs. Look, when the Holy Spirit moves in, He moves in, and He is so much more powerful, there's not even a chance of a Rottweiler against a Chihuahua. The flesh seems so big, doesn't it? But look, there is victory. And it says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Thank you, guys. You can be seated. When we're walking in the Spirit, now look at them. They're following the Spirit right there. Fantastic. When they're walking in the Spirit, you're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. But when you're yielding to the flesh, the power of the Spirit's rendered useless or ineffective at that time. At any point, we can listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, confess that sin, and immediately follow and surrender to the leading and the walking of the Holy Spirit. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you in the flesh? Which path are you on right now? Well, let's look at the passage of Scripture. Look, if you would, at verse 19. The Bible says this, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're clearly seen, which are these: adultery, fornication." Obviously, the physical act of these immoral sins. But then there could be the internal act of the thoughts and intents of it as well. Uncleanness. As is mentioned, that's a moral uncleanness. Morally, you're not doing what's right. Morally, you've been looking at things online. Morally, you've been impure with your thoughts or your mind or your eyes. Next is lasciviousness. This is another work of the flesh. What's lasciviousness? It's the idea of license or unbridled lust. This lust is now just left unbridled. There's no bridle on that horse to rein it in and control it. It's just going to be no holds barred. Everything is just yielded to the flesh. There's this license. You know, lasciviousness can be so subtle. It can come in this way. It can come in where I think I can just commit the sin now and indulge in this flesh activity, and I'll just ask for forgiveness later. Because I'm saved, I'm not going to go to hell. That's called lasciviousness. Not only is there lasciviousness, next mentioned is idolatry. Anything that comes between God and you. An idol is anything that grabs your attention, steals your affection, and then becomes an authority. It grabs your attention, it steals your affection, and then it becomes your authority. I was in India for the very first time earlier this year, and I'm praying about the possibility of a crusade again in a couple of years. While I was in India, I was doing some shopping, a souvenir shop, and so we're trying to get, I guess, some scarves and such for my daughter and my wife, and I got some other things, and I was looking at some trinkets, and right there in the middle of their shopping with the trinkets and different things are idols. And there's not hundreds, there are literally thousands of idols and thousands of, quote, little gods that they worship. It's amazing. I'm looking, and there's an elephant-looking one, and there's weird-looking ones, and there's one with multiple hands and arms. It's just really weird and looking. And I'm looking through all of these things, and right between the trinkets and where the idols are, something red just pops out. It just kind of grabs my attention, and it's round. It's red, and it's round, and it's right there. I looked up. You know what I saw right there next to the gods? An angry bird. I was like, are you serious? No, it wasn't one of their gods. It was just right there. You can buy your angry bird. You can buy your idol. Okay. You know, and in the airport, it has idols. You know, right before you leave, grab your idol and you can take it with you, travel size. Now, for us, so that's just so foreign. But what can become an idol? Anything you place between you and God. It steals your, first it grabs your attention. You're distracted with it instead of walking in the Spirit. And then it steals your affection and then becomes your authority. And now you can't go to church and you can't reread your Bible and you can't do the Spirit-filled activities that you need to because you have to obey that idol. Has something become an idol for you? Something that is stealing your time? Maybe it's a pastime. Maybe it's something that's harmless, except it's become between you and God. How about witchcraft? It's the occult. Hatred is hostility. It continues on. Variance. That's the idea of contention or causing strife or argumentative spirit. Emulations is jealousy. Wrath is losing your temper. Strife is bickering. The idea of electioneering oneself. You push oneself forward. These two, the flesh against the spirit, it's incomparable. When you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are the lusts of the flesh and the works of the flesh been creeping up in your life and your thinking and your Christian walk? Would you confess it tonight and say, Dear Spirit of God, I need to have a turnabout. This right now needs to be a turning point for me to walk in the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit, to be surrendered in the Spirit in my personal life. If we're going to get on the right path and the Holy Spirit's going to lead us, He's going to give us certainly liberty. The Holy Spirit's going to give us leading. But finally, the Holy Spirit's going to give us life. He gives life. Look at verses 22 through 26. Verses 22 through 26, the Bible says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. It talks about dealing with your desires, dying to those things in self and the affections and lusts, dying with Christ, and having the fruit of the Spirit. Are the fruit of the Spirit being displayed in your life? What are they? Love is agape love. It's the giving of oneself. Is that your focus? Others? Do you realize this? Your life is here, and your purpose has to include serving others. At no point in your existence are you to stop serving others. Well, I'm just going to serve God. Try serving God without serving others. You can't do it. It is all about serving others. Are you full of self? Or truly this love that's flowing forth from the Spirit? How about joy? This is a deep joy that's not bothered by shallow circumstances. It's like the deep part of the river instead of the babbling brook with all the rocks. There's something there that's not bothered by circumstantial changes. Then there's peace, a tranquility of mind, long-suffering. That's the idea of patience. Slow to seek revenge. Gentleness. Gentle in spirit. Kindness. Goodness is a decency and uprightness. Faith is the idea of faithfulness. How do we become faithful? As we are walking in the Spirit, we're surrendering to the Spirit, and we're depending upon Him, the faithful one. Without Him, there's no consistency in our Christian walk at all. Meekness. It's calm. It's a collective spirit. Meekness is strength under control. Temperance, the idea of discipline. It's saying no to the flesh. No, I'm not going to eat that. This is Thanksgiving time, Brother Miller. Don't talk about no to eating. Now, there's times we feast and we certainly celebrate. But what about the things that we know that are damaging to us? That the doctor says, you eat this, and you will have terrible side effects. It's going to hurt you, your heart, your internal organs, your diabetes, whatever. And we just go ahead. It's saying no. Say no to the body that wants to just have its appetites. Say no to the flesh that wants to dictate our living. No when we are wanting to respond in anger. Someone says, I didn't do it. I didn't hit the wall. I didn't slam the door. But on the inside, there was no internal victory. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit alone. And this meekness, this temperance is all led and produced by Him. Notice, if you would, in verse 24, it says this, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It's referring to a past tense. This is an aorist tense of saying it's already done. In other words, it's saying what Galatians 2:20 is saying. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What's it talking about? What part of us died with Christ? Was it our body? No, obviously not. Our body did not die with Christ. Was it the soul, our mind, will, and emotions? No, it was not. The part that died with Christ and is identified with Christ in the burial of Christ is our spirit. The old man is crucified, taken care of. Now we identify with the life of Christ. When the Holy Spirit is living in us, filling us, empowering us, He is literally living the very life of Christ. And when you're walking in the Spirit, it's no to all the affections and lusts. It's no to those things. Are you letting the flesh and sin have a place that it has no authority? It has no authority over you. You're dead to that. You're dead to sin. The Bible says it in Romans chapter 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Imagine the worst criminal, down and outer, from East Indy. Absolutely worst one. Drunkard, drug addict, terrible guy. Let's say he passes on, he dies. At his funeral, there's people that come up. They say, hey, Harry, You want some good stuff? We've got some hard alcohol here. Here you go. Something happens. Never happened before. Harry doesn't respond. They come up to him. Another one comes up and says, "Hey, Harry, look here. I've got some good drugs. Afterwards, we'll just sneak out behind the building." Harry would always take advantage of that. Never miss an opportunity to do drugs. But something happens. Harry doesn't respond. Someone says, "Hey, let's go out. There's a party starting tonight at 10. Let's go out. We're going to go party. Okay, Harry? We'll meet you. We'll pick you up." But Harry's not there. Wait a minute. Why can Harry not drink? Why can Harry not do drugs? Why can Harry not party anymore? Because, say it with me, Harry is his dad. Folks, you're dead to that sin. Don't let the flesh in this world have a victory that God never intended. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Would you tonight say, "Dear God, I'm seeing right now I haven't been on the right pathway. I'm walking down the wrong path. I'm yielding to the flesh. I'm saying yes to the flesh. I'm letting temptation have power over me. It seems so strong." The reality is this, is the Spirit is stronger. Say yes to the Spirit. Surrender to Him. Would you tonight have a turning point saying, "I'm going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh"? Would you depend upon the Spirit tonight? Say, "Dear God, what I want is to be on the right path." There are people here, all kinds of different levels on the path. Some, you're way over here, and you need to take an about face and just start on this pathway. Others, you've been walking along this path of walking in the Spirit for a little while. Others still more advanced. None of us attain until we get to heaven. But as soon as you do that about face, you get on the right path. And this is the path of revival, of walking in the Spirit. Which path are you on right now? Let's pray.